Monday, 9:06 at News Radio 92.3. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. If you'd like to text in this morning, 850-437-1620. You heard it right. We have Alpha Star Wealth Management joining us this morning with Bob Burgi and Katie Burgi. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good morning. How are you?
Excited to see you.
Likewise.
Talk a little bit about some milestones in our
milestone
life.
Ages of retirement. Yeah.
So is this a celebration?
It's what is it, Katie? 10 birthdays that you get to celebrate after age, starting at about age 50. You know, retirement gets very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of them are, you know, really all of these ages are good ages. All of the milestones have positives.
But good. That's what I was going to say. These are good things.
These are good things.
We like good things.
Unless you forget about them. All right.
And then you miss out.
Yeah. Well, you missed out and you may pay some penalties.
We don't want that. Hey,
are we ready to dive in? We got a lot to go over today.
Oh, okay. Where do we want to start?
Well, Katie, what age? What age are we going to start with?
50.
50. She didn't just pick that out. Okay. We know what we're talking about, right?
What is it when you hit 50?
I'm sorry.
What's the birthday? Like, is that the gold? What is that? The golden birthday?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know that.
Is it over?
I don't know that.
Well, what's 40? 40 is the
gypsy fortune telling snake charmer type stuff. Okay.
Okay, that's the scientific one.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, what is 50?
40 is the big one.
40 is the big one. Okay. What's 60?
The golden birthday year. Oh my goodness.
It is age 50. Okay.
Right.
Back, let's get back on track. All right, age 50, Katie, really big milestone age. What do you get to do at age 50?
Make catch-up contributions.
That is exactly right. Catch-up contributions, and this includes catch-up contributions to, if you have an individual retirement account, a traditional IRA, if you have a Roth IRA, and if you have a qualified plan with your employer, say a 401k. The catch-up contribution, if you are 50 or over, is $1,000, bringing the $6,500 up to $7,500 for your non-employer qualified plans. And then the catch-up contribution is $7,500 for your 401k, say, your employer-sponsored qualified plan. So what is the maximum contribution, Katie, to your employer's qualified plan, say a 401k, here in 2023?
Oh, man. Call me out. I don't know.
I'm calling you
what
out, girl.
$22,500.
Right. Plus the $7,500. If you're over age 50, you can contribute a grand total of $30,000.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about that max amount just yet.
Not just yet. Not just yet. That is sort of a policy decision for people that kind of fell asleep at the wheel, you know, back in their 20s and 30s, maybe even into their 40s, but they didn't get serious until later on. And they want to, you know, max out their contributions and you know, the catch-up contributions after age 50 help you get to where you need to be when you do, in fact, retire, right?
Yeah.
All right. This next one's a little complicated. It's age 55. What we're going to say about that is it's more of an exception to the rule of being able to take your permissible distributions from your qualified plans, okay? We're going to bounce ahead a little bit, but that's typically age 59 and a half. But at age 55, Katie, there are two rules that take effect, okay? There's the rule of 55, little complicated, but suffice it to say there are exceptions to the 59 and a half rule, the permissive distributions from your employer's qualified plan or your individual retirement account, where you can take money out under certain circumstances. There's also Rule 72T. Again, we're not going to take a deep dive into this. It involves substantially equal periodic payments out of your employer's plan or your IRA. And let me go over a few of the exceptions to being able to take money out after age 55, but before age 59 and a half, if there is a disability issue, if there's a qualified disaster. You know, these are hardships, right? There are certain distributions to qualified reservists and active duty military, okay? And then medical expenses exceeding 10% of your AGI and possibly other withdrawals made subject to IRS regulations. Again, age 55 is the exception to age 59 and a half when normal distributions from qualified plans are permissible. So the next one is, guess what? Age 59 and a half. That is, we've kind of covered that. That's when it is permissible to begin taking distributions from your employer's qualified plan. Katie, anything to add on 59 and a half?
You can also do in-service rollovers.
Yeah,
this is preparation.
Yeah, thank you. That's something we've seen a lot of lately. When you reach 59 and a half, and you know, when you're starting to plan for retirement, Katie, we were with somebody last week and we looked inside, we took a deeper dive into their 401k. Outside of the target retirement date funds, they had six choices. That's it. So the menu, what you're able to invest your money in inside your employer's qualified plan, oftentimes is very limited and doesn't allow you to really allocate in all the investment spaces, all of the investment styles, and you know, really kind of prevents you from doing a lot of your long-term retirement planning and possibly even wealth transfer planning and estate planning. For example, Roth conversions. I know of no employer qualified plan that allows you to do Roth conversions. In order to do a Roth conversion, Katie, what do you have to do?
First move it.
Yeah, you got
to
get it out of there. You got
to
get it out of there. Roll it over into your IRA, your own traditional IRA or IRA rollover, and then you can begin doing Roth conversions. So again, at 59 and a half, most of the plans we've run into, Katie, allow you to do an in-service rollover. All that is rolling over the balance of your 401k or a certain amount of your 401k into your own IRA where you have more control, flexibility, choices, etc. Anything else on in-service rollovers, Katie?
No, just sometimes your employer plan has high administrative fees.
Right.
Or fees within their fund options.
Yeah, so I mentioned for the sake of control, flexibility, planning, and certainly the ability to do Roth conversions, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, there are fees as well. So something to think about if you are approaching age 59 and a half and have a 401k, or if you've reached the age of 59 and a half, you're usually able to roll that over. We have run into some plans, Katie, that allow you to only take out a certain percent. You know, say if you've reached 59 and a half, you can take 75% out, 85% out. You know, you have to reach, or if you have so many years of service with the company. But honestly, most of the ones that we've run into allow you to take every penny out of your 401k, remain an active participant in the plan, your employer's plan, and go ahead and do some planning with your now IRA rollover. All right. We have a question. All right, let's see. Katie, I'm going to read it, and you can take a stab at this. All right. One of our listeners has the following question. Is there any catch-up provisions for SEP retirement accounts for those over age 50? My understanding is it's limited to 25% of salary. Okay, we're talking about two different things. Yes, there is a catch-up contribution provision, okay? You can you can contribute more to an IRA or a 401k. Now, a SEP IRA is a little bit different. First of all, a SEP IRA has no Roth feature. That's one of the downsides of a SEP IRA. It is the lesser of, in 2023, I don't know why I know these numbers, but the lesser of $66,000 or 25% of your earnings. That is how much you can contribute to your SEP IRA. So that's very robust. It's a lot more than $6,500, $7,500, right, Katie?
Right.
It's a lot more than the $22,500 plus the catch-up contribution of $7,500 for a 401k.
So there's really no catch-up.
There's not a catch-up. There right. is with IRAs, there is with 401ks, but the allowances, the limits are so robust inside a SEP IRA that
but no, it doesn't go from 25% to 27%.
No, and it doesn't go from 66,000 to right. 75,000.
Right.
So I mean, it's a great question, and let's talk a little bit more about SEP IRAs, who they're ideal for. Typically, self-employed, 1099 employees, you cannot have a SEP IRA if you're a W-2 employee. So usually, again, self-employed, 1099 employees will use a SEP IRA. Great question. Keep them coming. All right, Katie, where did we leave off? What is the next milestone age of retirement?
62.
Age 62. Okay, what is 62? That's a great one. What do we do?
You're eligible for Social Security.
That is the earliest.
Earliest. Yeah.
The earliest you're eligible for Social Security, unless you are a qualifying widow or widower. Okay, and we don't have this as an age, but if you are widowed, you may take Social Security early. At age 60, and then bounce back over to the age 62 to the age 62 amount once you reach age 62. But age 62 is typically the earliest you can start drawing down on your Social Security. I like saying drawing down on your Social Security because you paid into it, right?
Right.
You know, it's not some... You know, you paid into it. You earned it, right? This is usually where we get the question, is Social Security going to be around when I turn 62, right? Yes, it's going to be around, all right? Stop that. A lot of people say, I think I need to take it now at age 62 because it's just not going to be around. Well, it is. Our taxes are going up, but it will be funded. All right, so the next age, this is perhaps... the most important age. It's not very fun to talk about, but doesn't involve contributions, doesn't even really involve dollar figures. But what happens at age 65, Katie? Hey, hold on. For anybody that's 64 out there, that has turned 64 or is 64 and a half, what is just piling up in your mailbox?
Medicare. Yeah. Flyers.
Medicare flyers, Medicare, everything. You're getting them on your email. But at about age 64 and a half, you know, the wheels come off and, you know, everybody knows you're about to turn 65 and they want you to sign up for Medicare with them. We have Medicare professionals in our office. It doesn't cost you anything for a consult. Doesn't cost you anything when you sign up. If you ever have, if you're 64, 64 and a half, certainly, 3 months before or 3 months after your 65th birthday, you really need to get signed up and enrolled, unless you have what is known as credible coverage through your employer. But 65 is an age where everybody is just scratching and clawing to get to so that they do have choices. Because if you are 64, 64 and a half, and you've looked for... medical health care coverage on the open market, we're talking about some really, really big numbers. I've seen as high as $800 a month and far more for a married couple. So that's what most people are working towards, is getting to getting to age 65 so they can get on Medicare, which is something else that you've paid into. You've earned it, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people think Medicare is going away. It's going the same way as Social Security. There is a deficit. There is a day when it will run out, possibly 10 years, 14 years, 12, 14 years from now, but it will be funded. And will our taxes go up? Yes. And I just wouldn't worry about that. Now, can they raise the age? They can raise the ages of Social Security. They can raise the ages of Medicare. That's another way to address the shortfall. Hey, what did we see over the weekend in France?
Civil unrest.
Yes, rioting.
Raising the retirement age to 64.
From 62 to 64.
It's a long time.
Move over here, you know?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, so.
I won't say what I said before.
They're soft over there, right?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, they're not.
The bread is really good, though.
So. Yeah.
Croissants.
Yeah, my kryptonite. You know, bread and butter on the table, that's all I need.
Exactly.
All right. So, real quickly, we went over age 50, 55, 59 and a half, age 60 for widows and widowers, as far as Social Security is concerned. Age 62, normally the earliest you can take Social Security. Age 65, the age of Medicare. That's a huge one. What's the next one?
66 to 67.
Exactly.
Your full retirement age.
That's exactly right. Is it 66 or 67 for everybody? Not everybody.
That's a good question for you.
If you are born after age 60, your full retirement age, and we throw this around all the time, the acronym FRA.
Oh, you just mean between.
FRA. Oh, yes. That's what I was talking about.
Okay.
Kind of a trick question.
I thought you were saying there's an outlier.
No. So 66
Maybe
or 67.
Somebody as old as you.
And all of the ages in between in two month increments. So if you were born after age 60, so if you're born 60, 61, 62, for everybody in this room at least, okay,
right.
It's age 67. If you are born in 1959, full retirement age is 66 and 10 months, okay? And then, you know, so let's just say between the ages of 66 and 67, that's when you hit your full retirement age. And that is an important birthday because you can go on Social Security. You can get what is known as your full retirement age benefit, also called your primary benefit. And, you know, I would say most of the people we work with take their Social Security at full retirement age. And if it's a married couple, we have many married couples where the higher earner may wait till age 70, which brings us to the next milestone age of retirement. But why would they wait till age 70, Katie?
Because it increases.
It increases. It actually increases by 8% per year. That's huge. Where else do you, I mean, have you ever received an 8% raise from your employer?
No, I haven't.
At least not this one, right?
Yeah.
Did Fidelity ever pay an 8% raise?
Nope.
Okay. Now look. Let's be honest. By waiting, you're not getting that money for the years that you waited. So it's not like a raise. But you will get more, and you will command more, and you will make more over your lifetime if you wait. The other reason to wait is, you know, let's say the higher earner is the husband, okay? He's paid it more into Social Security, and if he waits until age 70, then when he dies, his surviving spouse, his wife, will now stand in his shoes and take his Social Security benefit. And that's why a lot of people wait until age 70. All right. Wow, we're getting through this. Katie, what do we have left?
73.
73?
No.
That's right. It's 73 now.
I was about to say 72.
I know. So earlier this year, the Secure Act 2.0 passed and raised the required minimum distribution age, often referred to as RMD age, to age 73. Now, they raised it from age 73 to age 73 from age 72. And I believe the Secure Act, the original Secure Act, and what do we call that, Katie? Secure Act OG, right?
Yeah.
So the original Secure Act, and I think the original Secure Act was in 2020, and that raised the RMD age from age 70 and a half, where did they get that, right?
Yeah.
To age 72. And then Secure Act 2.0 in the year 2022, actually went into effect in 2023, raised it to age 73. So that is the latest you can wait to start drawing down on your IRA, 401k, qualified balances, right? And let's talk about real quickly, why would you wait that long?
If you can, why wouldn't you?
That's right. That money is growing tax deferred.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, you know, if you can wait until 73, let's say you retire at age 65, you don't turn on your Social Security until age 70, and you don't turn on your RMDs until, or you don't start taking your RMDs until age 73, you've got between 5 and 8 years of having the ability to do Roth conversions, which can make a big difference. And of course, that's taking distributions from your traditional balances and converting them to Roth IRAs. And the Roth IRA is the only what?
Tax-free.
Is the only tax-free account.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say on the planet, but
no,
in this country, right? It grows tax-free for the rest of your life, the rest of your surviving spouse's life, and is tax-free to your beneficiaries if they're children. You know, that's great. However, they have to take it, they have to empty those accounts in how many years, Katie?
10 years.
10 years. That's the new 10-year rule. Another new rule. You can no longer take non-spouse beneficiaries have to take all of the money out of their inherited IRA or inherited Roth IRA by the 10th year from when they inherited the money. So
yeah.
Think about this. If it's a traditional balance, that's a massive income coming into their hands and reportable income. And
taxable income.
Yeah. I hope I said that. Mm-hmm. Massive income, reportable income, and you're going to have to pay taxes. We've seen very large traditional IRAs that pass to children beneficiaries, perhaps one or two, and the taxes are massive. So that really kind of builds a strong case for doing Roth conversions later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there you have it, the milestone ages of retirement. And we are finishing right on time.
Right on time. Great job.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent. All of this will be on our podcast page, but if somebody would like to reach you, how can we contact you?
850. Katie, help me.
437-3127.
850-437-3127. Please call.